What to Expect is a production of iHeartRadio. I'm your host, Heidi Murkoff, and I'm a mom on a mission. A mission to help you know what to expect every step of the way. If motherhood is the ultimate sisterhood, and I think we all know where I stand with that, then that must go double for Tia Mori. Tia has been part of our lives since she and her identically adorable twin, Tamara, co-starred on the hit 90s series Sister, Sister. Now, if you were fangirling back then as a tween yourself, there's only more to love about Tia now that you're both all grown up. She's been busy since her Sister, Sister years, starring in shows like The Game, Tia and Tamara, and most recently, the Netflix comedy Family Reunion. Oh, and for your binge-watching pleasure, you can now stream all six seasons of Sister, Sister on Netflix. And as if that weren't enough, Tia is also an author, a producer, an entrepreneur, a wife, and a mother of two ridiculously cute kids, Cree and Cairo, a mom multitasker after my own heart. If you already feel like you know her, that's because Tia is authentic and open in everything she does. We're going to get to know her just a little bit better today because she's here to get real about her pregnancies, motherhood, and her own journey to better health. Tia, thank you so much for hanging out with Emma and me today. Emma definitely spent a lot of time hanging out with you when she was growing up.
Aww. I feel like we went through puberty together. I wasn't allowed to watch TV. Like, I got like 30 minutes a week, and that was my choice.
Aw, thank you. You know, Sister, Sister, and you know, it's playing right now on Netflix, and the nostalgia is just on a high right now. Yes. So I'm just so grateful that we are able to put smiles on people's faces now, you know, through this pandemic. And the timing is just perfect. But that's so awesome that you were a fan of the show.
Speaking of putting smiles on our faces that we all need. So how have you guys been staying healthy and sane during this COVID thing?
The first thing I'll say is how we've been staying sane is taking everything a day at a time. You know, if I'm honest with you, when the pandemic first hit, I was like always on the go. I'm a social butterfly. I even have a butterfly tattoo. So to just kind of like put the brakes on rather quickly, it was pretty hard for me. And then, you know, just kind of having the kids do social distance learning, it was just a lot of new things were coming at me so quickly. It was like being thrown in a pool, but not knowing how to swim. You had to really learn how to adjust swiftly. So with that said, I feel like now, I have my moments. I mean, just the other day, I like started bursting out in tears because one of my friends had invited me to go out to dinner with her, but you know, we haven't been quarantined together. So I hadn't seen her. I wanted to see her, but I had to make that choice. But I've gotten better.
It's frustrating. Emma, you've had some challenges too.
Oh my gosh. You know, at first I was like, oh, I got this. This is going to be fine. Whatever. And now I'm like, there's not a day that goes by that I don't cry like in a corner in a fetal position.
It's nice to know that there's someone that feels like you. You know what I mean? Like I said, some days I feel like I have this and then some days I just don't. But in regards to creating a schedule, you know, for the kids and just for us as a family has really brought some sort of peace, I think. Yeah. Peace of mind. Every morning at 7 o'clock, I get the kids ready. I get my son, I tell him to put on, I pick out some nice clothes, like as if he's going somewhere. I tell him to brush his teeth, wash his face, do his hair. Cause just mentally, it just makes you feel better. I mean, for me, at least.
No, it's so true. Emma?
Tia, can you come and like teach me your ways?
It is. It's hard to create a schedule when you don't have anything to motivate you for that schedule. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I had to pretend.
Yeah.
You know, it's like.
Act. You had to act.
Yes, I had to. We're going somewhere today, but we're not going somewhere today. But what I liked about it was it forced us to do something different. It forced us to kind of put the responsibility on yourself to make the kids happy, as opposed to, I mean, going to Disneyland or going, we were planning on going to Knott's Berry Farm for Korea's birthday, but of course, you know, we can't. But it made everything more intimate. It made me put my like creativity cap on, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think we have to wear a lot of creativity caps right now in so many different ways. But I think that's a silver lining, right? That we all have some extra family time, sometimes maybe too much, but it is family time that we otherwise wouldn't have had. So that is awesome. So Tia, you were diagnosed with endometriosis in 2006, right? And what were the symptoms that you had? And was it hard getting that diagnosis?
Oh, well, okay. So I guess I'll start with, was it hard getting that diagnosis? It was very hard. For years, I had suffered. I was going to my regular doctor, which was a family practitioner, and I would constantly tell her about my symptoms. I was like telling her, it almost felt like I was telling her about my symptoms like every time I would be on my period. But the weirdest thing was, it was like she wasn't taking my symptoms very seriously. It was kind of like, well, just take a bath, take a warm bath. Or when I would tell her that didn't work last month, it was, well, get on the treadmill. Well, okay, but that didn't work in July. Then August would come around, put a heating pad on it. Well, that didn't work either. So it was kind of like I was being passed, you know, off.
Yeah.
And that was very frustrating. And my symptoms were, I was having excruciating pain when it came to my cramps, meaning I couldn't function because my cramps were so painful. I would be balled up in a ball. I would have heavy, heavy, heavy periods, meaning I would go through, you know, my feminine needs so fast because I was just so heavy. And then also, this is very weird, but I'm very honest, you know, when I speak about this, because I just want to be transparent just in case if someone else is dealing with it.
Yes.
There were lots of clots. There was a lot of clotting, which was very odd to me because, you know, whenever I would ask someone else, like, do you get this? Do you get that? They're like, no, I don't clots like that. And I'm like, well, that's weird because I do. So I would have to say those were my symptoms. I think the biggest key here that I want to share with people is your symptoms take over. You're unable to function. And that's when I knew that something was wrong, was when the pain had gotten so bad, and I actually share this in my book, Whole New You, the symptoms got so bad that I had to call an ambulance, or I wanted to call an ambulance because I was like, I need something to stop me from feeling this pain because it was just terrible. And that's when I knew. I was like, this isn't normal and I need to really try to fix this or figure out what is going on.
So just even having someone listen to you was part of the problem.
Yes.
And this is something I hear all the time. The CDC even has a campaign right now called Hear Her for this very reason, because women are not listened to so often.
No. No.
What did you do after you were finally diagnosed?
Before I got, I think it's also important to talk about even like how I got diagnosed. I didn't give up, meaning I didn't take no for an answer. I was my own advocate and I continued to fight. So I ended up finding an incredible doctor who diagnosed me just by just hearing my symptoms and listening to me. She was like, you know what? You are the perfect candidate for endometriosis. And I remember sitting in her office going, huh? What? Like, what is that? She was like, you're African American. You're in your mid 20s. But in order for me to properly diagnose you, we have to have surgery. And that was like, I was like, what? I'd never gone under anesthesia. I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm so scared. Da, 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 da. But anyway, so basically what I did after my diagnosis, the first thing was I got the surgery. She properly diagnosed me. And then after having that first surgery, my symptoms kind of went away a little bit, but then they came back. So I had to have another surgery. And so she said, look, Tia, if you don't want to have another surgery, and if you want to have children one day, because endometriosis is a, you know, a highly inflammatory condition that can cause infertility, she said, you're going to have to change your diet and your lifestyle. That was the first thing that I started to really capitalize on and focus on after I was diagnosed. I started to change my lifestyle. I changed my diet. I started to focus on my stress levels, what was causing me stress, focused on things that would, you know, make me not so stressed, like yoga, meditation, and then just, you know, started taking supplements, taking care of my body and finding that
super unusual
balance.
For a doctor to recommend lifestyle and dietary changes, by the way.
I know.
So that is such a plus.
And to be honest with you, I was like taken aback because I was like, wait, what? You're not going to like just give me a pill or say that this is going to go away with just one pill? It was the first time I had heard a doctor even talk about food.
Yeah.
And how food can suppress or exacerbate some sort of underlying condition that you have. And so she had told me to stay away from dairy because dairy causes inflammation in the body. And I was like, what? What? You know, and I was young and I'm still young, but I think that's also the message here is that you don't want to wait until something bad happens or something scary happens in order for you to start doing precautions. You know what I mean? Just taking care of yourself.
I wish everybody, every woman had a doctor like that, I have to say. Now, you talked about both of your pregnancies being challenging.
Yeah.
I would say most pregnancies are challenging.
I know.
But how were they different? What did you go through?
So... what was so interesting about my challenges was I was gladly bringing them on because I was pregnant. You know what I mean? I was just happy to just be pregnant. So I was like, okay, yeah, I'm extremely nauseous right now. Bring it on. You know what
Yay.
I mean? Yay.
Score.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, that's
right?
A great sign. You're pregnant, you know? So, but after 2 months went by and then after 3 months went by and after 4 months went by and after 5 months went by, I'm like, why am I still nauseous? Like, this isn't fun anymore. That was the first pregnancy. That was what was the most difficult.
Were you diagnosed with hyperemesis?
No. You know what? I was never given that diagnosis, but I was told within like my next checkup, if I was still, you know, experiencing this, that I was going to have to get one of those things that was attached to you that would just release Zofran just in your body. And I was like, no, I don't want to do that. So I started eating bread just every single day. And the bread, for some reason, no longer made me feel nauseous. I ate it so much that I gained so much weight, of course, but then also I had a terrible allergy to it after my pregnancy. Isn't that crazy? Oh.
Just don't take the coffee.
I know, right? I was like, this is terrible. But, you know, it was so crazy because it was like, as soon as my son was out of me, you know, after we had the cesarean, but, you know, anesthesia will make you hurl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But after all of that, it was like the nausea, it went away. And I was like, oh, this is what it feels like. Oh my gosh. For my second pregnancy, it was actually worse. My second pregnancy, yeah, I was like, I am not that woman where it's just fairies sugar gumdrops and, you know, when you're pregnant. I was...
unicorns, rainbows.
No, that wasn't me. I had gestational diabetes. I had edema. I had carpal tunnel. I had high blood pressure, carpal tunnel. I was like, is this a joke? Like every single time I would see my doctor, she'd be like, oh, Tia, yeah, well, now you have this. And I'm like, are you serious? Oh, like, are you joking? But again, I just took it with all of it, like with stride and with pride, because I was just grateful to be carrying my children because I didn't think that I could ever get pregnant. So I was just always in a space of gratitude, even when I was sticking myself in the thigh with the insulin, you know?
Oh, no.
It was like a miracle. So
yes, all children are miracles, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's just to be able to have a child just grow in you and just start as this tiny, tiny little thing and just become this beautiful human being, that's a miracle, no matter how it happened. But just the process of just them being able to come to, you know, Earthside is just, it's a miracle. So I'm with you.
It is. And so those C-section, you had two C-sections?
Yes.
Well, first of all, how was your recovery?
The first one was better than the second one. The second one, I guess because there's more scar tissue, I don't know if it was older. I was like, I don't remember this. This is crazy.
Yeah, that happens. All of those memories that you want to forget, and then all of a sudden,
it's amnesia. Yeah.
But I will say this. If you do what you're supposed to do, rest and not do too much, that's the hardest thing about having a cesarean. How can you rest when you have a baby and you're taking care of that baby and you're breastfeeding and you're just like, oh my gosh, this is insane. But if you take your meds and do what you're supposed to do, eventually you'll get over that hump. And I think like the first, I would say like maybe the first five, six days are pretty rough. But after that, it's amazing how the body just starts to heal.
And plus moms are so amazing.
We rock.
We do. And you actually wrote a book
about
pregnancy.
I did.
Which is Oh Baby, Pregnancy Tales and Advice from One Hot Mama to Another.
Yeah.
And that was after Cree was born, right?
That was after Cree. Yeah.
Motherhood was the mother of invention for you too. Kind of like me, because I delivered the proposal for What to Expect When You're Expecting 2 hours before I went into labor with Emma.
Yeah.
So it kind of inspired you?
It did. And I think what inspired me to write that book was, again, I was going through so much that I was like, I'm sure there are many women that feel the same way. And I just want to just make light of all of it, make it funny and make it fun, because what I think people aren't really honest about is pregnancy is scary. You know, especially if you've had IVF or if you've had complications or even if you've had a miscarriage, going through the whole process, it's scary and it's nerve-wracking. And then what I was telling my friend the other day was, you're also alone. Like, when are you ever around a woman in the same household even that is pregnant with you? Mm-hmm. It's just you. So I just wanted to just make light of it, make women laugh, you know, talk about the bloody noses, talk about the peeing on yourself when you laugh.
Oh my God. I had bloody noses every day. I still pee myself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. When I first had a bloody nose, oh my gosh, like what is happening? Like, this is crazy.
Yeah. But, yeah.
You know, again, I didn't hear women say, yeah, you know, when I was pregnant, I had bloody noses. So like, again, I just wanted people to know that it's normal to have bloody noses.
Every
you know what I mean? Like
morning.
When you're pregnant, it's fine.
Yeah. And be stuffy and snore even.
Oh.
And have that like gaggy feeling all night from the drip, 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 the post-nasal drip. Yeah. It's
a beautiful thing. Oh, the constipation. That was mine.
That too.
Right.
Or I had mentioned chest acne and back acne. So that's why I'm like, why did nobody tell me about this? So those are the things that I wasn't afraid to talk about, but make light of and fun, because it's normal. I don't want women to freak out, you know?
We're not going to laugh. We're going to cry. So I'd rather laugh.
Yeah.
Exactly. If you don't have a sense of humor as a parent or as a pregnant mom, you are so screwed. So switching gears to parenting. So Emma, there's 5 years between your boys.
Lennox is 7 and Sebi just turned 2.
Ages are almost the same with kids.
Yeah. Sebi was born your youngest was born in May.
Yeah.
And we're June.
Oh.
That's so cool. My son, it was June 28th. So he's 9. And Cairo is May 5th and she's 2.5.
Oh.
Yeah.
So was it hard because they're so far apart, was it hard for Cree to kind of adjust to having a new baby in the house, or was he super excited?
It was very hard.
Uh-huh.
It was, I don't know, was it for you too?
I was a single mom for a while, so he was like super attached to me. I kind of like overcompensated for everything but like presents and gifts and all my attention. So I think like it was a little rough on him because all of a sudden he had a new father figure in the house and a new baby.
Oh, yeah.
But it was rough, but you know, you get through it.
Yeah, you do. You know, with Cree, It's interesting that you say, because I knew that it was time to have a baby when I started to have a shrine of my son in the house. It was a...
Yes.
That's so funny.
Is this healthy? Like, this is just wrong. This just looks wrong. And so when Cairo, let me tell you what he did, which was so interesting. Cree, he never was the child that would draw on the wall, you know, or anything like that. So he had gone into her room, and this was before she was born, almost up to, you know, she was close. And he drew on her furniture. He's very good at art, and he has this signature thing that he does with like these little swirl things. And he did that on her dresser. And I said, oh my gosh, I feel so bad as a parent because Cairo's room was Cree's room.
Oh.
So we had moved Cree's room to the bigger room. And I tried to tell him, you're getting the bigger room. You're the big brother. Like, look, you have a shower. Yeah. Like, you have all of this stuff. This is so cool. He drew on her furniture. It was like he was marking his territory. He was like
tagging.
He was tagging.
Yeah, that's so funny. That's so wise, you know?
Right?
Yeah, so much wisdom there in a little guy.
Yep, but he's better now. Like, they have the best relationship.
Right, and like, it changes. It's so beautiful.
He is the big brother, watches over her, makes sure she's okay. It's so funny seeing him try to pick her up, you know, when she's crying.
That's so sweet. That's why I think, like, in a way, like, that larger age gap is so beneficial because you really get the help. I mean, I wish Lennox would change diapers.
Oh my gosh, you guys, I have to tell a story about a diaper really quick. I hope I'm not digressing too much. So, but it's interesting that you say that. You talk about helping because I agree with you. Cree helps with everything because people always ask me about that gap. And I'm like, it's been great. I mean, the only thing is they just have, when they're activities, they're just so different that your day is just, you know, you're just like all over the place as opposed to having both kids go to one place. But Cree will not touch a poopy diaper. Cairo, she had pooped and her poop was so heavy that her diaper fell. And my son jetted out of the room so fast that if I was in his way, he would have knocked me down.
I feel you. I'm like him. I can't stand the poo.
No, Cree cannot stand it. He's out of the room, like gone, like lightning.
Oh, I love it. Well, you know, I think we all have divisions like in our households. Like you do puke, I do poop, you do blood. I don't know if you have those with Corey.
I do. Like, my husband, you do? Corey, 2 years ago, Cree had the stomach flu, and Lord God, you know how that spreads so fast around the house. But I can't do throw up. Corey, like, literally caught it in his hand, like the throw up in his hand, and it's just like oozing out of his hand. And I'm like, oh my God, that is so disgusting.
For sure. We all have our limits.
Yep.
So, your sister, Tamara,
has
little kids too. Now, do you wish you had had twins?
No. Oh, no. I don't know how my mother did. And she worked, you know, her and my dad worked. And I'm like, how did you do this with like having two crying babies at the same time? How are you like putting the babies down like for naps and, you know, getting us to go to sleep at night and putting us on schedules and all? I guess being a mom, you're put into survival mode. So maybe that's what it was with her. I just think it's a lot. Like, I don't know if I could handle that, but the positive is having a twin is amazing because you have that built-in bond and you're going through life and life's obstacles together.
Yeah. My husband, Eric, Emma's dad, is a identical twin too.
Oh, wow. So cool.
But the weird thing is, I think when they were younger, they did all kinds of crazy twin stuff where you like could cue the Twilight Zone music. Like, oh my God, they didn't do that at the same time, 2,000 miles apart, but they did. But he doesn't have quite the same bond with his brother that he did when he was growing up. But it sounds like you do, and that's amazing.
Well, yeah. I mean, to be honest with you, now that we do have kids and then she lives away, we were closer, you know, when we were younger. But we definitely try to keep that bond. We actually have, especially during quarantine, we have something called sibling love. And I know it's corny. We call each other every 2 weeks on FaceTime. And, you know, with all of the siblings and we just chat and just, you know, check in just to see how everybody's doing.
I'm going to make my brother do that.
What about you and Corey? So you've been married for
12 years.
12 years.
But we've been together for almost 21.
Whoa. Wow. How do you keep that fresh? I'm trying to keep it fresh with like a newlywed.
I know. You know, I think continue to date each other.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we're actually going to go on a date tomorrow and we dress up. You know, like you have to stay in that dating phase where you dress up for each other, you know, put on some perfume, spend that quality time, especially when you have kids. And when you have two kids or just a kid in general, your priority shifts. You know, it's kind of like you just naturally gravitate towards your kids and making sure that your kids are okay. And then you're like, am I okay? And then but you have to really focus on your marriage because if you don't, it'll be neglected. And then that's not good if that's not what you want. You know what I mean?
Well, it's not even good for your kids.
No, you're right.
Because they learn about relationships from their parents. So, in fact, if you model the kind of relationship you one day want them to have. But I think it's easy to put on the back burner because you can't put kids on the back burner because they're going to have meltdowns, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
But it's easy to put your relationship with your partner on the back burner. And I feel it's so important, incredibly important. I mean, we had sex dates. Like, we had to have sex once a week. That was like a rule in our house because otherwise we wouldn't get around to it.
Heidi, this is the first time where I'm admitting it. We do too. We do too.
Yeah, once a week. We always say we should do it more often, but once a week.
And you know, when I was younger and when I would hear that, I'd be like, why do you have to do that?
I
like,
know.
You know what I mean? No, but
you do.
Like you said, it's like you do, especially with kids and with work and all that. Like you have to make sure that it's not neglected in any kind of way. So totally. I'm with you, girl.
Totally. What's the best advice you ever got when you were pregnant and as a new parent?
The best advice that I gotten, and I didn't listen. I wish I did when I was pregnant was rest when the baby sleeps. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like sleep when the baby
sleeps.
You
just laughed.
Yeah. Like, but it's so important that you do that. That is the best advice that you can get. Or it's cliche, but I will tell you the one advice that I had gotten that was very beneficial to me was prior to getting pregnant. This woman had told me, Tia, make sure you do everything that you want to do. Mm-hmm. Like, even when it comes to having fun. So I remember I had, you know, I was such a good girl, you know, with sister, like I rarely got drunk. And I was like, let me see what it feels like just to get drunk. So
Cross it off the list.
Have fun, do travel, do whatever it is that you want to do, you know, and that you can do before you have a child. Because like you said, certain things, it's going to be very easy for you to put on the back burner until things get settled again. The best advice that I had gotten for being a mom, and I've actually have a whole like business model off of this advice. I was just asking this woman, I was like, how do you do it? Like, how are you present with being a mom and with, you know, being a showrunner and just being able to just juggle all of these things and you still have a smile on your face? And she said, how can the goose lay the egg if the goose does not take care of herself?
Ooh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
totally.
Right. So how can you be the best mom if you don't give yourself time, if you do not nurture yourself, if you do not give yourself self-care, if you do not take that time to take a nap, if you do not take that time to meditate, if you do not take that time, you know, just to yourself? How can you be present and full to do other things that you love to do? And so that was the best advice.
That's so smart. You also, in your spare time, have a line of supplements?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That's so cool.
Like, yes. You didn't have enough to do.
I know. But I do. I have a supplement line, and we talked about endometriosis and my journey, and that's what inspired me to come out with this line. You know, I had gone on this personal wellness journey for myself, and I had mentioned how taking supplements was a part of, you know, mm-hmm. me reaching my full wellness potential. And I just wanted to encourage other women and people to do the same, to take charge of their health. And you don't have to wait till something bad happens or until we get older to start, you know, really focusing on our health. Why not start doing what we need to do right now? But what inspired me the most about my supplement line was, you know, when I was on this wellness journey, I didn't see women of color being represented. I didn't see representation. I didn't see, you know, diversity when it came to speaking to that audience. So my goal with Answer is to communicate, you know, of course, to everyone, but also to communicate to the audience that didn't feel included when it came to wellness. And our supplement line, Answer, it's tangible, it's affordable, and we have an incredible prenatal. With, you know, my personal experience, I wanted to make sure that it had properties or ingredients in there that helped with nausea. So we have peppermint, we have ginger, and of course, it's no gluten, preservative free. It's not vegan because we have the fish oil, which you need, mm-hmm. but the rest of the line, from even the gummy line that we have, is all vegan. The men's, the women's line, the beauty formula. We have digestive comfort. We have healthy mood that helps with your mood. We have just incredible things just to, you know, help you feel good on a day-to-day basis. But we're so proud of it. And
that's so great.
It's purposeful. You know what I mean? It's about helping people get on the right path. So,
and I feel like, especially for women of color, when they become pregnant, often mm-hmm. are at higher risk for things like gestational diabetes and mm-hmm. preeclampsia, to get healthy before you even become pregnant. And that's mm-hmm. why I always say, take a prenatal. Don't wait until you get the, you know, the pee stick, right? Mm-hmm. Until you see the plus sign. You get yourself a prenatal vitamin. I say, take mm-hmm. one all the time.
Yeah.
Like during your reproductive years. So I think mm-hmm. that's great. I think that's great. So now I hear that you have a question for me.
Okay. So basically my question for you is just, how do you go about this situation? Okay. So my daughter, she's very, very close to her dad. Like, she's a daddy's girl. Like, no matter how I can be around Cairo for 24 hours, but she's still a daddy's girl. It just seems like it's just something that happens. And so she's having a hard time, like, eating in her high chair in the morning. And she always wants her daddy to sit with her. She goes, "Daddy, sit, daddy, sit, daddy, sit." So she wants to be on daddy's lap. And she's very capable of sitting in her own high chair and eating herself. Okay. Mm-hmm. She's done this. She'll do it for me. She'll do it for everybody else but her daddy. Mm-hmm. Now, this is where it gets a little muddy. Is my husband, he gives in to her, you know, but then he like gets frustrated sometimes if he has to do things, because, you know, he can't always be there to have Cairo sit on daddy's lap. But I'm kind of in a bind because he doesn't want to hear her cry or doesn't want to see her cry. Mm-hmm. And then he just gives in. So I don't know to do.
Yeah. Okay. So first of all, I can relate, because I'm not going to name any names here, but I had a daughter. I still have a daughter. When she wanted something, she would just call him Gaga, because that was her baby name for him. And so, like, she'd be 17 years old, and when she wanted something, she'd just, like, sidle up to him and say Gaga, and then he was putty in her hands. I totally feel you. And, you know, in the end, it doesn't really matter. What matters is that the two of you are on the same parenting page and that you're a united front, because clearly in your family, she wants something, she goes to daddy. I mean, I always say it's kind of like traffic rules. If all the traffic rules were changing all the time, mm-hmm. and you knew that on Monday, the red light meant stop, and then on Tuesday, mm-hmm. it meant go, or it meant whatever you wanted it to mean on that day, then there would be chaos, right? Because the rules were always changing. You know, there are so few absolutes in parenting, you know, like, you got to love your child, you got to keep your child healthy and safe. But if I were going to add one more, it would be consistency. You have to be consistent, and you have to be consistent between The parents.
Yes. That makes so much sense. And I'm telling you, there's definitely no consistency when it comes to that. But also, thank you so much for that, because now I'm just going to talk to Corey and just, you know, see what is it that we both agree to.
Exactly. I think sometimes parents feel like there has to be a certain number of times a day they say no, just, you know, to maintain their authority. But it's not like you have to say no all the time, or that you have to have a certain number of rules. You just have to have what is non-negotiable.
Yes.
In our home. And then whether it's jumping on the bed or whether it's eating in the high chair, that's reasonable. As long as it's always the same, no matter who's in charge.
Got it. Oh, I like that. Okay. I'm going to check in with you, Heidi, in like 2 weeks and tell you how we're doing.
Oh, totally. Literally, Mom, you're literally describing my house. No boundaries. Okay. I'm like, I'm learning too, T. I'm learning too.
Okay. No, it's hard. It's hard.
It's especially with a toddler. Manipulative little creatures. Tia, I want to thank you so much
for being and
hanging out today.
No problem. I love supporting women. I love speaking about family and babies and all that stuff. So this was something that I was truly looking forward to. So thank you so much
for all
that you're doing.
Oh.
So I appreciate it.
It takes a village, right?
Yeah,
we're all in this together.
Yep, we are. Thank you. Tia. Bye.
Baby love, my baby love, I need you, oh how I need you.
Thanks for listening. Remember, I'm always here for you. What to expect is always here for you. We're all in this together. For more on what you heard on today's episode, visit whattoexpect.com/podcast. You can also check out What to Expect When You're Expecting, What to Expect the First Year, and the What to Expect app. And we want to hear from you. Connect with us on our community message board or on our social media. You can find me at Heidi Murkoff and Emma at Emma Bing WTE. And of course, at What to Expect. Baby Love is performed by Riley Biederer. What to Expect is a production of iHeartRadio. For more shows from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
In my arms, why don't you stay?